بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، we begin the discussion of etiquettes for wives. Thereafter Hazrat says, try to complete your household chores early and quickly so that you can spend quality time with your husband and children. So as we mentioned yesterday, also very importantly, is the salah is on time. That the salah is on time, then everything will fall into place. And for the mastarat, for the ladies at home, the mustahab time for their salah is when the time just sets in. So they are finished to their salah, then the men, the mustahab time for the men, accordingly we have the times in the masjid. So when they get back home, the women folk, they are over with their namaz. They are ready now for the husband when he returns home. So if the salah is on time, then alhamdulillah, everything will fall into place. And one bad habit, Hazrat mentions also, that the masturat have, and some of the men also, is especially the asr namaz, they delay. Asr namaz, they delay right before maghrib. Now to delay the asr salah till after half an hour before sunset. The latest for asr salah to be completely correct, to get the full reward, is at least minimum half an hour before sunset. Minimum half an hour before sunset. So anything after that, when, now we say half an hour, the original masla is when the sun loses its radiance and you can look at the sun with your naked eye, it doesn't hurt the eye, then it means that the makruh time has already set in. Makruh time has set in. Obviously this is on a clear day, not a cloudy day. So clearly you can look at the sun, doesn't hurt the eye, it lost its radiance, etc. Then it means makruh time is set in already. So your salah is makruh. Then you will not get the full reward of it. And you mentioned the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and salah al-bardain, dakhal al-jannah. The person who performs the two cool namazes, fajr salah, asr salah, performs these two namazes correctly with all the requisites, then for that person who performs, secures these two namazes specifically, all we have to read. But these two namazes, fajr salah and the asr salah, the two cool salah, because fajr time is cool, asr time also is a bit cooler. So that person who secures these two namazes, dakhala jannah, as if already he's got his jannat. Because these two are difficult namazes. So one is for the men also, as you mentioned, now it comes winter time, asr namaz gets earlier, maghrib is early, just after 5 o'clock, now it's short shop time, busy time, we can't close. Then they close last minute, rush to the masjid, 10 minutes before maghrib, sometimes 5 minutes before maghrib, we're performing salah. And worse than that, is when brothers come late to the masjid, it's already makruh time, and now they're making jamaat. They're making jamaat of asr namaz at the back. This is, say, hide your gunas. This, you've come late for salah, is that a virtue? Read your salah where nobody can see you right now. The masjid has some sahen area where nobody can see you. It has a room upstairs, downstairs. We read it over there. But you read it in public view, and the person taking his time by reading the namaz also. But he's late, he's already a makruh time, and he's performing his namaz in that time. So we should take note of these namaz times and be careful in regards to protecting our namaz times. But this is for the masturat, for the ladies, to ensure that they perform the salah on time and they give due time to the family, the correct time to the family, and they perform the salah in the mustahab time. Do not disclose your husband's secrets or faults to either family members or friends. This has become common now. As we mentioned, women have a list that if he fulfills all these preconditions, the requisites, what is? Narcissist. He qualifies, my husband is like that now. Because he repeats this thing, or he says this thing, or he picks on the children, or he picks on me. So he has these traits in him, so he's like this. If only they have a list now, oh, my husband is a buzruk, mashallah. He reads 5 times namaz, provides for the family, 60 minutes, alhamdulillah, we can buy any time, or groceries, all the barakat he brings in the home. My husband is a wali of Allah. That list Allah Ta'ala gives to Fiqh, we get a list like that also. Alhamdulillah, it's fulfilling all this. He has 1-2 flaws there, just 1 or 2, alhamdulillah. But everything else is good. House taken care of, water and lights paid for. And we know as husbands behind the scenes how much we will take care just for things to get running. Water and lights to be paid, that there's electricity, there's garam pani, there's hot water also. Just one evening, one morning, there's no hot water. A water hangama in the house. There's no water. There's no hot water. What's the problem? Now to arrange the plumber, for him to come And then also sometimes they say, can't come this time, must come this time. But you know the plumber, what time he comes now. You have to wait for him. Then husband will say, run from the shop, run from the business, arrange, now he has to be there. Then maybe geezer sometimes is in the house. Then that place got flooded, all that tension, etc., all those. Now the mastura don't have this fikr. They don't have this concern. Yes, they have their duties in the home, they're fulfilling it, alhamdulillah. Allah's fazal and shukr. So we compliment one another. Very important to compliment one another. In Kitabs you will find chapters of Manaqib. It's called Manaqib. Manaqib al-Sahaba, radiallahu anhum, where there are chapters in Kitabs that have recorded those ahadith in which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam complimented the Sahaba. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, these are his virtues. That the most, inna amana an-nasa alayya min suhbatihi wa malihi Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the most kind person to me among Sahaba radiallahu anhum, in regards to his wealth and his companionship, is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Allah will repay him on the day of Qiyamah. The time he gave and the resources he spent on the deen of Allah and on Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will repay him on the day of Qiyamah. So all these, even as Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when the rebels, they laid siege to his home, couldn't leave the house. Then at that time, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu would come and he would stand something on the roof of the house and he would tell the rebels that, do you know who I am? I am Abu Huraira. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned these virtues in regards to myself, and you tell them. Then you tell them, do you know Uthman, his virtues? So just to highlight and tell them, do you know what you are doing right now? If you accept my virtues, and Nabi of Allah mentioned this about me, then I'm telling you about Uthman. Then we hear so many virtues, Salman minni, Salman radiallahu anhu is part of us, he's from Abu Jamaat. And Nabi Ali mentioned all these. So from here we understand that, is that a problem? Is virtuous? Is good to create muhabbat and love? Nabi Ali salatu wasalam will mention these things to Sahaba radiallahu anhum to create that muhabbat and love affinity and to keep them close. So in the same way, husband and wife should do the same thing. You compliment one another. MashaAllah, you're doing so much. Really appreciate it. Jazakallah khair. May Allah give you barakat. Hazrat also has taught us a dua for after eating that Hazrat has compiled just for apa only. If for every meal the dua he makes for her, Jazakallahu khairan, the way Hazrat says, Jazakallahu khairan, Allah reward you. That's a dry Jazakallah. But really, may Allah Pak reward you, Allah keep you happy, give you afiyat, sihat, salamat, qabuliyat. Allah Ta'ala grant you barakat, Allah keep you happy, all those that you love and all those that love you, all these duas he makes for Papa. After one meal, how much of muhabbat? Now we call him and say, Jazakallahu khairan. And the wife also, she's presenting the food, she's waiting for your compliment. At the same time, due respect to the masturat also, the food that you're waiting compliment for, where did the ingredients come from? His pocket. So thank him also. May Allah Pak reward you also. You brought all the groceries home, you were able to do so much of shopping, alhamdulillah, that you got everything extra in the house. Allah Ta'ala give you barakat. And now you're making a dua for her. May Allah Pak reward you also. You put all these ingredients together and how you presented the food. Hazrat says how much of pride they take. One is in cooking the food. Just a presentation, subhanallah. It's a whole art of his own. They don't even have an eye for it. Unfortunately, sometimes you go for some other da'wat. When we come back home, they say, what a da'wat it was. The way the presentation and the way the food was served and the platter like this and like that. But she's doing the same thing. But they we don't see. We compliment somebody else's food. So Hazrat says that when even the guests come, our guests come, we invited them. And we invited our parents, her in-laws, and everybody has come. And we're just going to dish out the food, men's section separately, ladies separately. Shouldn't be that we're eating the ni'mat of Allah and breaking the command of Allah. We're eating the ni'mat of Allah and breaking the command of Allah. But this is all intermingling. How can it be that in the obedience to the creation, we are disobeying the Creator? We get upset, children upset us. We get so upset with them. That you're missing, you're doing this, you're missing the house right now, you're missing it. We're missing the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're missing the sunnah, we're missing the deen of Allah. And we don't feel anything. How angry we get as parents. Sit here, don't mess over there. Now we're missing this sunnah, missing that sunnah. We're missing this command of Allah Ta'ala. Allah is overlooking and Allah is feeling. And we get upset with the child also sometimes. We take away the sweet. You must eat clothes. I warned you before that. What do you say? I warned you. Must say, I warned you. Don't mess your clothes. When you play outside, change your new shoes. I will stern. And then Nani, Nana, Dada, Dadi, they'll butt in. Don't be so harsh. Their hearts break. They get upset. Why are you? She said, no, I warned him before that. When he comes, he mustn't do it like this. How much Allah didn't warn us? 30 chapters. 30 chapters, a love letter. 30 chapters, a love letter from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not that only you must read it, but I make others read it for you. So you can hear in Taraweeh also. How much I love you. How much muhabbat for you. I don't need to burn your fingers. Don't fall into the fire. But what do you say? I don't care. Allah can shout. Allah can warn. وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ Allah says in Quran, وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسَهُ وَإِلَى اللَّهِ الْمَصِيرُ Allah says that Allah warned you in regards to Himself. Be careful. Allah warned you about Himself. وَإِلَى اللَّهِ الْمَصِيرُ And you will turn to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Return place is by Allah. Allah is already sounding the warnings that don't make me upset. Now how upset we get? Sometimes the child also from the grandparent. How the mother will just grab the child. Pull the child off the table. Take it in the room. Oh, the Dadi's, Nani's heart is finished now. What's going to happen in the room now? That child is going to get a hiding. Now, we are doing the same thing. To Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, here Allah Ta'ala gave mushfiq and compassionate grandparents. Their love now for grandchildren is something else. More than that, the love for the ummah was rahmatul alameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Qurbani sacrifice he gave for the ummah to come onto deen. And if he could now, even on the day of Qiyamah we mentioned, how Nabi alayhi salatu salam mentioned that I am like that person standing in front of a fire. And these moths and flies and insects are just flying past and falling into the fire. You are doing the same thing. But I'm grabbing you by the waist. And I'm trying to protect you. But you're still slipping through. Still want to break the command of Allah. Don't want to stop. Still want to carry on with the intermingling. All it together. Otherwise it's a dry Eid. Why ladies separate? Why men separate? And then also just to make it a little bit this way and that way. It's okay, separate tables. Just put the men there. Put the ladies there. But then too. We can see one another. Breaking the command of Allah. Eating merrily the ni'mat of Allah. We will take the chocolate away from the child. Allah is not taking away still. Allah is still giving more, better da'wah and better food and more merrymaking and more enjoyment. But the iman, we don't feel any heat. We don't feel anything. We're breaking the command of Allah right now. Are we happy? We're happy about it. Brother-in-law speaking to sister-in-law. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Alhamdu al-maut. Brother-in-law is death. The brother-in-law is death. Like, as if tell somebody, you'll die. I said, hold on. Can't get into this now. Problem. Nabi of Allah cried for the ummah, gave qurbani for the ummah. His nights, his day, fasting, going in the battlefield, all for the deen to come alive. And now the Muslim of the 14th century, everything goes on deaf ears, Hazrat says, deaf ears. We heard it, but Masturat hear it also. But how are we going to do all of this? Yes, if we have the niyat, Allah will make a plan. Allah Ta'ala will make it happen. Now we're not doing it, generations are getting spoiled. It's carrying on for years. Children will do the same thing, grandchildren will do the same thing, great-grandchildren. And before we know it now, it's no more having da'wat at home. Now we've got a higher place. Now we've got to go out. We're going to a different level now. Why the fitna of mal? We have the money so we can spend it. Why have it at home now? We've got such a big house, barakat in the house. The family cook the food also, zikr, fikr, dua, salah. Whole month, Quran tilawat. No, we go eat out. Take the whole family out. And we go eat somewhere. Why? Why? So the house don't get dirty. Eat there, everything is done there, cleaned up, and we're gone. Now we're gone to that level. Now we can understand that Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam was on the highest level. For him, even Tahajjud Salah never missed it. Nawafid was on his place. In the battlefield, also battle of Khandaq, Sahaba Ikram came to Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, hunger. And they revealed the bellies, stones tied. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, one level above, he revealed his belly, two stones tied. Always one ahead, upper, one level upper and higher than everyone else. Whichever level he was upon, then the natural system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that the imam, the father of the house, the responsible one, the owner of the business, the employer, whatever level he is on, the workers, family, children, musallis will fall one level below. He has to be one level above. If the boss is going to come at 10 o'clock, then the workers are going to relax. As soon as he walks in, now they start acting, now we're very busy. Students of Deen is the same thing also. We were in school, we know what it was. When teacher is not there, then we got one boy keeping arak, keeping check, no, teacher is coming. And here in our stanza, the teacher is coming. He's coming. Oh, sit up now. He's coming. But before that, nothing is happening. So whatever level we are upon, one level higher, then automatically by default, the family will fall one level below. Now, coming generations down, what's going to happen? Already we're taking the whole family out and eat this. Children are getting used to that environment. What they're going to do when they grow up, Allah knows best. Where they're going to have the dawahs now, some people park, some Muslim park, open, everybody mixing together. This is Eid now. This is Eid. Like how one person asked him from one of the Western countries. So, he's got an Islamic center, and a lot of rebirths are coming, right, in the Western countries. So I asked him, what type of deen do you present to your people? Because nowadays, unfortunately, there are different faces of deen. You've got the Turkish model, you've got the Emirati model, then you've got the Salafi model, and all these models want to update deen, give it a facelift. Give it. Our deen doesn't need a facelift. Our deen is the deen of Muhammadur Rasulullah. The most modern, sophisticated, most beautiful deen that Allah Ta'ala accepted. Allah Ta'ala is a designer, architect of this deen. He reserved this entire model of deen for his Habib alayhi salatu wasalam. Complete, head to toe, internally, externally, from birth till after death. Complete deen, doesn't need a facelift. Because now in the 21st century, so everything now must start changing. So no, Hazrat said the deen will remain the same. We must change for the deen. The deen is a mold, we must fit within the mold. Not that deen was molded around me. This is my likings and my dislikes. So accordingly now, I'll tailor make my deen how I want to. Quran says, Udkhulu bisilmi kaffa. Enter into, Allah addresses the mu'mineen, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O people of Iman. Enter into Islam completely. What kind of Islam? Islam of Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Not the Islam now of certain person or certain movement. You want to ask that person, then what kind of deen do you offer your people in your Islamic center? He says, well, we are a diverse community. Diverse community, Western country, and we have a lot of rivers that are coming. Sometimes this, the woman will come on their own, right? They've been to varsity, they're educated, so they got a mind of their own. So now they accept Islam, they come to Islamic center. So you're going to provide for them a space. We call it the third space. The third space where they can fit in there because they don't have family support. They're the only Muslim. So we have to create now a space for them in the Islamic center where they can feel comfortable and wanted. But that third space now is, so to say, a common space for everybody. Men, ladies, whoever wants to come, then they come in, we welcome them. And to make them feel comfortable, we take a selfie all together, then you're part of the big picture now, the big family. But this is the type of deen. I said, well, that is not deen. That is not deen. Remember something very important, my dear brothers. We are mukallaf, we are obligated to make the effort of deen. We are obligated to make the effort of deen. We are not obligated to convert people to Islam. We are not obligated for people's iman. Qasam Allah. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتِ Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says that, O Nabi of Allah, you cannot give hidayah to who you want. How much he wanted hidayah to Abu Talib? How much hidayah to Abu Talib? Allah says, you cannot give him hidayah. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَى Allah will give hidayah to whomsoever he wants to give hidayah to. Now with this we have anxiousness that he must come on to deen. So we'll do anything to keep him in. You can't keep him in deen. You can't bring him to deen. You've got to show him the original deen. This is the deen of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi. This is the deen of Allah. This is the deen of Allah. Now we want to tailor make the deen, cut a little bit over there, cut a little bit over there, and make it, so to say, a bit of a rosy and easy deen. It's easy going. Doesn't matter. You can just overlook this for now. Overlook. Rather to say that person will become a Muslim together with this, somebody comes to the masjid. I want to become a Muslim. Then we ask him, you sure you want to become a Muslim? You ready for it? Now, you got a tandaza after that. You got to pray 5 times a day. If you come 4 o'clock here, now they will tell you, 4 o'clock you got to be here. Then 5 times a day, you sure you can manage? Then when you come to Ramadan, then you can't eat. You tell him, you can't eat. Alright? You can't drink. And no tumbi also.
He says, no, you're not giving him da'wat, you're frightening him. You tell him, don't, you can't. You're frightening the person. Now, however he's come, he's got love for deen, he saw it, he's become Muslim. Hazrat says, make him Muslim same time. Don't tell him, go back home and think about it properly. But you prepared now to cut out certain things of deen. These things don't agree with me. Alright, so now, we just leave these things out for now. Like how that person, doctor gave him some medication, and he took it to the bedroom, asked the wife, where's the scissors? So she gave him the scissor. And then she sees him taking the tablets, and he's cutting the corners of the tablets, the sides of it. So she asked him, what are you doing? He said, a lot of side effects. So I'm just cutting out the sides a little bit, and I'll just take the center. So no side effects. That's what we're doing to the deen. The deen, we like it a little bit, but the little side issues now affecting us, we'll just cut it out a bit, just alter it a bit. So we can just fit into this thing, not too heavy. We don't want to get too heavy. There's no orthodox Islam, and there's no easy Islam. This watered down Islam. There's only one type of deen. Ummatun wasata. We are moderate ummat. Everything is moderate. Now we have the modern type of deen. Take it easy. Don't be hard. That is not deen. We have the deen of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the deen of Allah. That's what we follow. So this person says we have the third space where everyone comes together, one community. So Eid day also we have a big hall, intermingling. But we know the reality was happening in the heart. And years later we get the report, he got involved, she got involved, this happened and that happened. And we don't go into all the reports, but it's there. Right now, even in those countries, in American countries also, there's a whole movement right now by those women that were abused in the system that now have become very vocal. That why do the scholars put everything under the carpet? Why do they put everything under the carpet? Because the deen that you opted for wasn't the real deen. Where now you shake the hand of the sheikh and you close proximity with him, is an open dars, and he speaks to you, you can speak to him. And it was happening here locally, my dear brothers. We have to say these things now. Locally also, where there was certain mashayikh scholars that were teaching, the ladies also, first-hand experiences, the ladies mentioned to us also, that we know when the scholar now, right, scholar, usually we use for those ulama that have this modern mindset. Those that are following the sunnah, they are ulama. They follow the sunnah to the best of their ability. So obviously, you know, if you're going to address women as a scholar, you're not going to go with your sandals and socks. You're going to dress up. As they say, our brothers from the Transvaal, you're going to kit up. You're going to make a kit when you go. And you're going to use a proper perfume also. And you're going to go for that. That's what you're going to present. And you're going to be all, you're going to do your facial and waxing, whatever it is. You're going to be shining. Because now you're dressing females. So you're going to be dressed like that. And when the scholar will speak also, إِنَّ مِنَ الْبَيَانِ لَسِحْرًا Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, in some bayan, in some speech, there is jadu and witchcraft. It's enchantment. There's no deen in there. It enchants you. It captures the heart. This is a hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The person catches his aura, the way he's dressed right now, his charm, he's got the gift of the garb, the way he's speaking. The way he's speaking, the way he's presenting the talk, the bayan, and his charisma. Oh. Like one old lady, there was a street bride. She was a street bride. So, she was a married woman, very old couple, and the neighbor was also a very old lady, but she was a widow. So they met outside on the street, the street bride taking place, all Muslim neighbors there. So they began to talk. But this old lady that's still married, she's telling the other old lady that's a widow. So she asking Gujarati, tomorrow pahe ITV che? Do you have ITV by you? ITV. Then nimale. Said, Jovano, you must check it. She said, what's in there? He said, ek moli saab che, boro paro. There's a moli saab there, very handsome. Jovano. My husband knows from this time to that time, you mustn't interfere with me. I've seen my muli saab for that time. Inna lillahi. At that age of your life, you fell in fitna because of the eyes. You fell in fitna because of the eyes. Is that sharia and deen? Is that sharia and deen? Manish Patel saab mentioned long time ago, rahmatullah alayh, about photography, videoing, where that Masturat lady wrote to him. She said, my husband loves cricket.
Malana, he loves cricket, that's his life. And every time he's watching cricket, he says, come see with me. Sit a little while with me and let's share a hobby together. We're on the same page. We're on the same page. Share the hobby with me. So she would sit. Now she writes, Morana, my husband is out of shape. When I see the cricketers, mashallah, how the physique is. To the extent that now my heart is captured. Even when we are intimate, at that moment I'm thinking of the cricketer. I'm thinking of the cricketer, what if he was with me right now? Heart is gone. This husband says we don't understand. We're taking the woman out to these places. Men are looking at them. They're looking at men and all these things are greener on the other side. The brother-in-law is always more charming. His jokes are always funny. My husband doesn't have to joke properly. What is making jokes here? Trying to impress everybody. He's trying to impress everybody. That person now, he's got style. He knows what his style. He's smart. He's always like that, unfortunately. But we don't realize that all these feelings are happening through the heart. And as we say, we've got to mention these things. How many are men right now? How many are men right now in a marriage? But because of some argument, the hearts are not together in the marriage, in the home. Wife is pulling this side, he's pulling that way. He wants to change his life or she wants to change her life. She's not prepared, she's not ready, he's not ready. Now they're not talking, sometimes for days, sometimes for weeks. What happens now? Then they're not sleeping together. There's no intimacy. Sometimes 1 week, 2 weeks. Then the woman uses it as a weapon against the man. There's no intimacy. Now he said he's not working also. And at that moment, so weeks are gone like that. Now we have a big da'wat. Brother-in-law came, sister-in-law came. And when they came, all dressed up, all dolled up also. Now already 1 month, this is bicharo, there's no intimacy. Everything looks nice now. Everything will look nice. And now he has to sit opposite her. He has to talk to her, talk up, chat with her. And before we know it, Hazrat Hakim Sahib told us that time, Rahmatullah Alayh, he said, who you thought was your son turned out to be who you thought was your nephew turned out to be your son. How that happened now? She thought it was my nephew, but it was actually your son then. Why? Illicit relationship just happened. Don't know what happened then. Why? No parada, intermingling. We don't regard it as anything whatsoever. So, what's going to happen if we're not going to keep it tight, we're not going to keep Sharia and the Sunnah? Then we can imagine generations down what is going to happen. What is going to happen with the interfaith also and all this modern type of, you can't call it deen also. Deen is the deen of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's a lifestyle. But all the photography and all the videoing and all the video calling, the rest of it, Haramain Sharifain is finished right now. If only we understand what's happening there right now, the Haramain Sharifain, unfortunately, sometimes you're walking in the courtyard, you go to see it. Right in the mataf also, just because of the photography, one erroneous and one mistaken fatwa opened the doors of fitnas that we can't believe. Where now we saw it also, right there in the haram, outside the Masjid al-Nabawi, where a couple from Far East came with a cameraman, professional cameraman. Professional cameraman, he's got his entire kit, with different cameras all around him, and I'm walking, I'm making some Durood Sharif, and then I see this person, the way he's moving with his camera. I said, is he shooting a movie or something? Then I see, yes, it is a movie. Actually making like a movie. You got a couple there, walking hand in hand, with his camera upside down, and he's moving it that way, takes another camera, then he makes a ishara, just go back again. Then they're holding hands, they're going back again, and then they're walking. They took out a different camera, different angle. Then let's walk this way. Then the son, I said, Ya Inna Rahmatulil Alameen came to destroy these things. He came to destroy it. And he mentioned the worst adab on the day of Qiyamah for those who are involved in photography and video making. They're doing it right over here. Right front of the road or something. When they take out his camera. Ya Allah. The Ummah can make dua now. And how much dua they're not making? Almost 3.4 million for the Khatm al-Qur'an in Makkah Mukarram. 3.4 million making dua. But Ya Allah, bombs are still falling. How come? What's the problem? Haram food, haram activities, haram in Sharifain. That is Madinah Munawwara in the Mataf at Baytullah. Where you have models that are coming there. So to say, Islamic countries modeling Muslim garb, women Turkish dresses. Turkish dresses, they're modeling there and they got the cameraman. And how they make the signs with all their dresses, etc. Kaaba Sharif behind them. and they make these heart signs with their hands, modeling it over there and uploading on the internet. Islamic garb, Islamic dress, Baytullah is there and the cameraman is there and we're doing a photo shoot. Mataf has become that now. This is one fatwa. And where is gone to? Then our Hazrat says, yes, there could be some difference of opinion in regards to how you're capturing, the movement. Then we go to technicalities, because it's pixels, right? And is that real photography, like what we're speaking about, that comes in the Hadith Sharif, this about sketching something, drawing something. This is now you're just capturing, and is that real? It's a mirror. It's a mirror effect of what is there right now, and is that being printed out, etc. Hazrat says, we are not discussing how it's captured. We look at the end result of it, zina of the eyes. End result makes it haram. Like how we mentioned yesterday, iman is farz. To preserve iman, we need taqwa. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullah wa kunu ma'as sadiqin. So for iman, iman is farz. To preserve iman, we need taqwa. Therefore, taqwa becomes farz also. And then to preserve taqwa, we need company of the pious people. That also becomes compulsory. So a farz, for it to remain, it depends on something that also becomes compulsory. So in the same way, when it comes to haram, something may be permissible, but the outcome is haram. Outcome is impermissible. Then we will say even that becomes haram. So the outcome of this now, it becomes haram. Photography, or just to look at that picture also, anything animate, to look at anything animate, it's not permissible. The Weekly Gazette also, we don't understand that these things affect the iman. We know that a person might just see something, is a link over there, YouTube, innocently he press it, alright, happens commonly, and listen to one bayan maybe, but there's no picture. There's some waterfall or something, but below it, there's some other things there. Who's strong enough not to press that? Next link, and the next link, and then before you know it, now I'm seeing some series, I'm seeing this, I am seeing that, there's no more one bayan. So it leads to something which is haram, impermissible. So that will become haram also for you to get into it. And it's common. We see it's happening. Nobody can say, no, I'm strong enough. I'm only doing that. I'm not going further than that. It's happening. And as we mentioned now, how many got hidayat from YouTube? How many got hidayat from Instagram? It's a different type of hidayat. Different type of it's misguidance. No more guidance. It just becomes a more bigger thrill. A bigger thrill. And a better type of a bayan. A more emotional. But no deen is coming. The deen is not coming. Amal is not coming. There's more videos he's capturing now, and more likes, more subscribes, and then he wants to upload also. He wants to become a blogger, a YouTuber. Now he wants to get on that platform. You see that Mufti is worth so much, net profit. His channel is worth so much. And he's international. So I also want to get there one day. The deen becomes one act. All becoming actors after that. All becoming actors, and we're teaching the children from young already to start acting. It's happening already. With the camera now, all the children are becoming actors. Alright, we're videoing them and see how cute they are. Hazrat says to that old daddy ma kalim say, with no teeth. She said, oh cute. Can't say cute also. But she wants to take out the camera also. Haram into choose to take out the camera. Don't know how to use the other apps, but camera I know. That I know I've got a shortcut of it. What a fitna this has become that destroyed the woman. Had destroyed the masjids, destroyed Haramain Sharifin, destroyed the namazes also, cameras in the mihrab, camera everywhere, has become the norm of the day, camera. But, Hazrat says, don't forget, Allah's camera is on your camera. Allah's camera is on your camera. Where your eyes are looking, the one on top is looking at you. Where your eyes are going. But the example Hazrat gives also, that certain person in UK, London, everywhere there's cameras. Everywhere cameras. So he was driving, went past the robot and the camera flashed. He says, how come it was green, I passed through, camera flashed. And there, Abad, if the camera is on a flash, you're going to get a ticket. And you have to pay. There's no markup plan. You have to pay for it. So he says, maybe faulty this robot. So he went round and he passed through again, flashed again. Said, oh, I got a case. Let the tickets come and I'll sue the department. Then he picked up his friend. See this robot, I'll show you something. Took him also, went to the robot, the camera flashed again. So let it come, we'll take on the traffic department. Make some money at least now. When the ticket came for no seat belts. Where the camera was, where he was looking. So Hazrat says, Allah's camera is on your camera also. Where are you looking? You think you're doing something merry, something happy, you're having a good time? Allah says, where is his eyes right now? Where is he looking? Where is he looking? And some people say, but Bolana, we don't feel anything. Sister-in-law is there. The brother-in-law is here also. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam said, brother-in-law is dead. He will kill your nikah. Because he'll always look more charming and better. And then he'll come with his macho ideas that we go to the gym and we do this. And husband now, he's out of shape. And look at him now. Right? He's been cycling and he's doing all these things. We've got a boring, dry life. You don't need for all these things. But we all intermingling is happening. Are we happy about it also? What are you speaking about? The camera. Hmm? Yeah, Allah's camera is on your camera, Ji. So this important point Hazrat says, our obligation is to give the da'wat. Our obligation is to give the da'wat how we were given the da'wat. Simple, straightforward da'wat that was from heart to heart. How the da'wat is given? Jamaats are moving in the path of Allah. We go for majlis. Now with the cell phone, I don't need majlis anymore. I don't need jamaat anymore. Everything is here. I got the da'wat here on my cell phone. I got the majlis on my cell phone also. So I'll get hidayat from here. So Hazrat says, is that the case now? We get deen from the cell phone. We get majlis on the cell phone. We get da'wat on the cell phone. We get the jamaat kar guzari on the cell phone. We get married on the cell phone too. Make nikah on the cell phone, no problem. Make nikah on the cell phone. There's no fatwa like that, that nikah is made on the internet. But Hazrat says too, if the muftis have to give the fatwa, that you sitting here, you sitting in one country, South Africa, she's sitting now in the North Pole or somewhere like that, and now we may get married online, no problem, family sitting here, her family sitting there, we're getting married. Said if they give the fatwa permissibility, maybe nikah we can make. We can make nikah, but he says, for a baby to come into this world, we need garam suhbat. We need garam, just few minutes together, and that nice warm suhbat, and things can happen. On the internet, nothing will happen. Nothing will happen. In the same way, Sahaba Ikram understood this. For the deen to be born in their life, taqwa to come into their life, they had to stay close. They had to stay close. They had to be there, close to Nabi Ali Salatu Salam, for this fikr and deen to come into their heart. It wasn't that now, when hijjat was, hukam was, make hijjat, they all had to go, it should be going. We'll be close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Always qarni, how much he wanted to come. How much he wanted to come. And Nabi Ali salatu wasalam told Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhu, that if you meet Uwais rahmatul Ali, tell him to make dua maghfirat for you. Make dua maghfirat for you, Umar bin Khattab. But no matter what it is, Nabi Ali salam mentioned his name also, give him virtue, but we cannot say radiyallahu anhu. Those that had garam suhbat, they became radiyallahu anhu. Even though Nabi of Allah knew his level of taqwa, I mentioned him by name also, but not a sahabi. The one that came and sat there in the company of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam for a moment only, saw his Mubarak face in the condition of iman and died with iman, he says he's qualified as sahabi. Radiyallahu anhu. Just a garam suhbat. Now with the cell phone, we're sitting in the bayan also, but on the cell phone. It doesn't allow us now to have the garam suhbat. Still sitting with the cell phone, busy with it, we buy cars, we sell cars. It's all happening in the masjid now. We say, no, do it here. Barakat. Cut the deal over here now. There's no barakat. Uploading, downloading, doing all these things over here. In the house of Allah, where the bayan is on, the gush bayan is on, jamaats are going for gush, majlis is on, but the cell phone won't allow us. It's all because of this haram that is taking place, but we don't worry about it. So, as I mentioned, even the Western country, whole movement right now, but a whole group of women that used to go for these so-called durus and halaqat and lessons and third space, now they've come with a whole movement of all the type of with the violence or taking advantage of the ladies, what happened to them. They got close to the sheikh. Yeah, it happened in our own localities also, where they were mashaykh, they were teaching. And how they used to come dressed also, what charm, charisma, the perfume. That even the Masturat had to write the report. The Karguzari, they sent it also. It says, the way that Sheikh speaks, his tune, when he reads Quran, the tune and the sweetness. And then when we don't understand any masla also, this woman wrote this, when I didn't understand any fiqh or masla or the tafsir, etc., etc., then the Shaykh would say, don't understand anything, right now it's time for the lesson. Then after the lesson, you're welcome to come and ask anything. So Mustafa said, I fend for him. Because the way he speaks, my husband don't speak to me like that. He doesn't speak to me like that. Look at this man, what character he has. And in the bayan, ulama will speak like that also. They tell you how to speak to their wife also. But whether they're speaking like that is a different masla. So she said, then I would go with the kitab after the lesson and go very close to him also, almost now into his face. And because of that, she mentioned that sometimes I would dress up in such a manner now that reveal myself to him. Go close to him. I got perfume on also. So finally I got the himmat and the courage to tell him, the Sheikh, that if you don't mind, I don't mind being your second wife. I'll take a divorce from my husband also, because he can't take care of me. Look at your character. She threw herself at him. Not only one, many like that. Now, is that deen? Is that halqat? That whether it be online, whether it be some Zoom lesson, etc. That's why we say sometime 1 month, 2 months is no intimacy. Then Hazrat says, the man says, I don't feel anything. Hazrat says, you need to go to the clinic then. You don't feel anything, something is wrong. Something is wrong then. Because you put butter near the fire, it is going to melt. Doesn't melt, then maybe it came from China. Something is not tied to that butter. Maybe made in the lab or something, because they're making eggs also in the lab. They're making bananas in the lab also, brothers know about it. Alright, it's all fake. Even the chicken fillets also, they're making in the lab. Making from soya, even chicken fillet. So all the things now they're making, from fake news to fake food. But they say, no, it's real. Doka. Mata'ul ghurur. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding. So we are obligated to make the correct effort. That's our obligation. Hidayat in the hands of Allah. One person, we met him in New Zealand also. He gave us a long bayan. And the Rebbe told me, Mufti Sahib, just listen, don't say anything. Because he might utter kufr. He might utter some kufr words. Now this was more than 10 years ago. That time ulama told us, one time when Jamaat came also, he was a Jewish brother that became a Muslim. He moved to Pakistan. The white brother grew up in the States, became Muslim in the 70s, married a Pakistani girl staying in the States. Then they moved back to Pakistan. He went to Binori, Darulum, became an Alim of Deen, etc. So he was in Hilal. So he was speaking. So I asked him about his karguzari. He says in the 70s, that time it was a hippie life. You take to the streets, sleep anywhere, eat anything, do anything as you want to. It's a free life. All right. And he was part of a music band, whatever it was. He says, we did what we wanted. Life got wasted. End of the day, we were just depressed people. Looking for happiness where Allah Pak hasn't kept it. Looking for happiness where Allah Pak hasn't kept it. It's not there. It's like now you have a property, and in the front of the property you have concrete. In the back you have a garden. But no, I want to plant in the front. See, bye. Nothing is going to grow there. It's concrete over there. Plant in the back. The garden is there. Now I want to plant in the front so visitors come, they can. But you can't plant anything, you have concrete. You're not going to get fruits, you're not going to get crops from there. In the same way, we're looking for happiness, Allah Pak hasn't kept it, it's not there. But somehow, then he was, okay, we'll put some pot plants. It won't be the same. Only you have a beautiful garden, and you have some lawn over there, and where you can relax, you can have a picnic, it won't be the same. AstroTurf, you're going to put not the same. Grass is grass, and fake grass is fake grass. So it's not the same. And you know when it gets wet also, it doesn't get dry, the smell, grass is grass, we can perform namaz on it, it gets dry. So it's park. So anyway, he says, he's giving his car guzari. So he said, I've been through the life already. Saw everything, did everything. Then finally I came into Islam, I went for Hajj. He said, the worst experience of my life. He said, inna lillahi. See what happened? He said, I lived the life. Every haram you can think of, I did it. Part of the band also, whether he was playing the drums or whatever it was. So I went for Hajj. This was in the 80s or so. I went for Hajj. Worst experience of my life. I was heartbroken. Completely heartbroken. I was shattered. I said, what happened? He said, what I saw was happening in Hijaz al-Muqaddas, in Medina Munawwara, Makkah Mukarrama. He says that how many times I was tempted to just tap the Imam of the Haram and request his permission to allow me to say a few words on the mic. Just to make the people understand really what they are doing here right now, what they are what they're exposed to. I say, what do you mean? He said, whatever happens in the Western countries, they'll come with something new just to enjoy life, get a kick, get a rush, get a thrill. So they expose it, they put it out there. Already they have ready for you the medication, the depression, whether it's going to be your health, something new in the market, some new type of food, some new outlet. They already have the medication ready. Pharmaceutical companies already are behind it. They already got the psychiatrists, psychologists waiting for you. It's a whole system they got you in it. Whole system. That they will live off you, off your illnesses. That is their business. So they already got you in there. So we've been through all of that. The depression and the drugs and the drinking and the womanizing and everything. They're staying in partners for so many years, staying in, etc. And now we don't even have children. Then you have a surrogate mother. That she'll carry the child for you. Why you want to destroy your shape and your figure? Let her carry it for you. What is your baby? And then go adopt one from Africa. And all these complications of life. Don't really know what we're doing in life. Then end of the day, we're just depressed. We're just depressed. Like one brother also was married in China, one of our Musallis. So he mentioned about them also. He says Western companies have come, they have international multi-million dollar international companies in these countries. And they have specific departments where they only employ highly qualified ladies. So those young girls aspire to fill those positions. They're paying them in dollars. Top wages, top salaries. And they got them working because they're meticulous. Eh? Meticulous. That these young girls, they're prepared to do the job like how they want them to do it. And in Japan, they say they just train to work. You just train to work, you don't look out of the box. It's all now you are programmed. That's how they work. Sunday also, he says, they program washing cars, special slippers for the cars only. Don't dirty the car. So they got everything systematic there. So he says these women, they work, they make big money. They got super luxurious apartments. Very comfortable lives. But there's no time to get married. There's no time to get. We'll make money, we'll eat out, we'll enjoy our life. We've got enough resources by us and the facilities, etc. But no time to get married. And then he says they've realized now that a woman, after she goes into a certain age, she reaches 35, 40. She wants love. And she wants to give love. Allah Pak has made the lap of the mother like that. She's got enough love to give. As she gets older, there's no limits to her muhabbat and love. She just wants more grandchildren. Send more. Grandfather also, send the grandchildren along as they don't cry. Once they cry, go by mommy now. Now there's no time. As long as you're cute, you come here, no problem. But the amount of muhabbat and love, as they get older, they just want to give. But no children now. No husband to take care of. And no children to give love to. So what they do? Buy one cat. Hazrat says now, ye bhi ek kaam ho gaya hai. This has become some work also, taking picture of cat the whole day. Taking pictures of cat. He said, insan, ashraful makhlukat. A cat is surprised at you also. That Allah Ta'ala made you the best of all creation, but you got eyes for me. I'm surprised at you. So even the animals get surprised. People go to the zoo to see the monkey also. It is looking at you. He's making you tata also. You came to see me. He said, you're quite calm here now. And then you go back home, the children act like monkeys too. He said, what happened to insan? Where your mind went to? So this person mentioned that by the time they're hitting 40 and 50, they're in depression now. They're taking medication to sleep. Mind is wandering. I'm going to die alone over here. I'm going to die. I got enough money in the bank. What's it going to help me now? My life is over. There's no one to love me, to show me love, and I got no one to love also. It's only my money. I got a beautiful apartment, and how many times we hear also in Europe, sometimes we read the articles, person or with a male or female lived alone, palatial home, so much, millions of pounds, and he made wasiyat that my estate must go to my pit bull terrier, to my dog, as a lani life. I have a nice silken cushion for him. He must relax. The butler must take care of him. My companion of life. My life companion. Inna lillahi. What has happened to insan? Allah has given us a beautiful system of life. Way. This is to them now intelligence. We are progressive people. We are very intelligent people. Do you call this intelligence? The way the life comes out like this. Nothing to show. Who is going to make a salah sahab for you? The cat is not going to come read for you. The dog is not going to make zikr and read for you. It's the family, the children, what we put in them. What values of deen we put in them. We made them ulama, we made them hufaz. I'm going to the qabr, he's walking to the musallaf imamat. Ya Allah, my son, my grandson. This is the degree. This is intelligence. So he says, this is what they have done. To the masturat ladies in Japan. Now they are realizing what happened to us now. What happened to us now to the extent, my dear brothers, if you don't know. The life has become so bland, so emotionless. There's no more emotion left. You see, among those people in those parts of the world, there's no emotion. It's only work. They keep a straight face. It's cold. It's absolutely cold. There's no emotion whatsoever. To the extent nowadays, if you read some articles that people send out, that a certain person went to a certain city there, he was going to the graveyard, Japanese person, went to the graveyard to pray for his father, non-Muslim. But he says now, there was no real contact also, because we sent off to school, boarding school, everybody is working, there's no time to connect heart to heart. Just got to produce, results. You got to make your dunya, there's nothing else to talk about. So he says now, I never got married also, it was just work, got a top job. Now I flew in, came to a certain town, I wanted to go to the graveyard to pray for my father. Now I wanted to feel emotional, but is that happening? So they have a whole department now, or a service they have. They have a whole service where you can hire a person. You can hire a person for the day to be your heart companion. Where the person is trained to show you love, to hug you, to cry for you, to make you cry also. They train for this and they pay by the hour. So they have whether you want a male or a female. Then now they'll accompany you to the graveyard and they'll cry for you also. They'll make you cry. They say a few words, they train to say it. And for the women also, that those women that are feeling lonely, they lost a family member, then they have also that type of service where you have somebody to hug you for the night and you pay him for it, just to feel wanted a little bit. Nothing more than that, just a hug for the night, just to eat with you a little bit, put the candle on for you, make you feel nice, say you a few good words and put you to bed. They're paying for it. They're actually paying for the services. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Whereas for us it's sadaqah. Do it for the family, do it for the children, do it for the wife, create muhabbat and love. They go on to that extreme, what do we say? Progressive. First world country. These are first world countries, first to go into a, not jannat. First to go wherever they're gonna land up. Allah give hidayah. Our lifestyle, if you go back to Madinah Munawwara, where the original deen, we are obligated to make the effort of deen in a correct manner. We are not obligated for people's hidayat. Hidayat in the hands of Allah, now we want to water down the deen to accommodate all these things. At least they become Muslim. At least they come into deen. So what kind of deen is that? Is it the deen of Muhammad or Rasulullah? That YouTube deen? Some other facelift, so to say, of deen? But this destruction of deen. So the masturat also, they have to see that they're taking effect also from all this now. When it comes to Eid, now we have this theme and that theme of Eid. And the serviettes. Serviettes also, this type of theme, that type of theme, and the rest of it. Our theme is sunnat. The barakat, muhabbat, love, nur is in the sunnat. Now you're moving away. One Emirati, we want this type of theme, or this one type of theme. There's not sunnat there. There's israf. Money is getting wasted. Give it to Gaza. The children don't have Eid clothes. They don't have Eid clothes. Leave having clothes. They don't have food. And now we're going to just throw money away. Remember, my dear brothers, little Qurbani will make. Maybe we can't send the money there. Maybe we can't buy them clothes. Maybe we can't send food for them. But little, I'm going to cut my expenses, my israf, my expenditure, my extravagance. It contributes to the ummah. Little qurbani I'm going to make. See, the ummah is one body. The ummah is one body. When the head pains, entire body pains. The toe pains, entire body pains. One tooth ache, the sleep is gone. So the entire ummah is one body. The entire ummah is one body. So when you take care of the body, you take care of one part of the body, the entire body feels good. You make ilaj, you feel good. We make little qurbani sacrifice here, Allah's raham comes down. Allah's raham doesn't come only on you only, comes the entire ummah. You make some qurbani here, we didn't go shopping. Now is the time to increase our ibadah, Ramadan coming to the end. Now we say Eid festivity. As you mentioned, Arab countries already coming back to the Jewish brother, Muslim brother. So I asked him why he got so upset. He said, I lived the life and I saw what happened in the States. When I saw what was happening over here, I realized that what we ate, what we drank, what we used, and all the sins and the vice that we've been through already, and we got sick because of it, that entire package of all the filth and the dirt, after we finished off, and we vomited it out. So what they did, they saved all of this, all the waste, and they dumped it in the Middle East for the Haji, come and take it. We already finished with it. Now they threw it to y'all. Now the Haji will come in the old days. That time electronics was a big thing. Right? We were under apartheid, so many things we couldn't get over here. Now the Haji, when he went, it was a big thing that time. Those that went before, they'll know. You go in the 80s and 90s, etc. Alright, we have orders from the family, get me a Walkman. But you know it's a Walkman. Get me a Walkman, Sony. Right, get me a radio. Bring one TV also. Bring a mini hi-fi. Mini hi-fi was very big that time. Mini hi-fi. They bring a speaker phone, very big thing. Press the button, you can. It's a speaker phone. All the electronics was there. The shops were busy that time. And all the brand names, clothing, the Nike tackies and this tacky and things that we couldn't get. So go and bring all of that. Then you will see how you know South African hotel, the day we're checking out, they have to hire one truck, tip truck, to load all the TVs, to load all the hi-fis. And the Hajis making the last dua, Baytullah, Ya Allah, we're going back home now. And the Masturat, they got the bangles lined up from the wrist right till the elbow. All the janho for the children and the grandchildren. We take everything back home, Barakat of Harameen. And making the last final dua, Ya Allah, that customs officer says, just make him blind. He mustn't see us. We just go green light, green light. The whole fikr returning home, the first fikr was Nairobi. That everything is offloaded there, and from the airport you can see the tarmac, and you can see your TV is there, the hi-fi is there. Ya Allah, they must load it on. Hope it comes through. Hadi Sahib is worried about that. They come here, I can't remember the airport name that time. Louis Botha was it? Louis Botha. And now the fikr and the concern, and finally we got through. Oh, they come home, they tear all this path. He said, we already been through it. It finished our lives already. And now the ummah came here to take it back home. He said, how much I wanted to tell them that, do you know what you're doing? These things are going to make you sick. It's not going to bring deen in your life. We designed these things. We were in the bands, we were doing the music, we were doing the movies, we were doing the drugs. This is what he's going to get you onto. Just to settle your mind and your brain, you have to get onto that sleeping tablet. You have to get onto that painkiller. You have to get onto this. I'm telling you, listen to me. He said, I realized that what we did and ate at that time took about between 5 to 10 years to filter down to the Muslim ummah. It took time to get to them. He says, now, the press of the button. With the press of the button, they're already onto it. What we did here, what was already designed to corrupt us completely and our children, press of the button is already filtered. It's gone to the whole ummah. They want power with us right now. They want power with us right now. We're getting sick, they're getting sick. Obesity, cholesterol, diabetes, all started over here. It's already down over there. Because these certain products, these outlets, these broiler chickens, and the haram food, etc. We made it Sharia compliant. We made it an industry. So it filtered down. They're doing it, they're eating it. Children are all sick. Children are diabetic. Inna lillah. From birth already diabetic. What happened? From birth, then the allergies, the hay fever, the sinuses. As I said, before the old days was healthy food, good food. People are strong nowadays. They could still do work. They could still now do their work. He says, now the child, as you mentioned, you were in Australia, were in Jamaat there. 11-year-old youngster, Taraweeh time sitting on the chair. 11-year-old boy sitting on the chair performing namaz. His feet can't even reach the ground also. Father sitting next to him. After every two rakats, father pressing his legs.
father pressing his legs. So then I asked him, I said, Beta, what happened? He said, I ran the cross country. Some race he ran. So my legs are a bit tired right now. It's a professional thing. I said, oh, mashallah. So your father now, he has to rub your legs. That's Western countries, where the parents now become the khadims. And even the house we were living in, Masturat Jamaat was there. So, very safe country, so to say progressive country, everybody is taken care of. Even the youth, the children, every locality has a shopping center. They have a Woolworths there till 10 o'clock at night. There we saw you self-checkout. Alright, self-checkout. You don't need a cashier there. You just take your goods, you scan it and you pay with the card. Even at the airport also, you self-check-in. You put your bag on the scale and you scan your passport, prints out the tag, you tag your bag and you send it through. So all that, they have all the facilities. And so every area has a shopping center, has a Woolworths, has a Pizza of Eights, have a movie house, has a gym, and then has a this facility, indoor pool and the rest of it. So everything, all the facilities are there. And by 16 years old, and they have a little government department also, like Home Affairs, in every one of the shopping malls, in every residential area. So by age 16 more or less, then you take your ID card and you register with government. If I'm not mistaken, they were saying, I think you get a spending stipend from government for the youngsters, about $200 a week from government you get. Because you have that age now. So they make you independent of your parents. They make you independent. So you don't need your father, mother anymore. Now you got your own money. You got your own money. And by a certain age already, you can apply for a license. A vehicle is subsidized. You have different color number plates, so they know, okay, learner driver, subsidized, etc. So they know what bracket you're in. So as you were leaving for Maghrib Salah, from the house you were staying in, the Jamaat brother, as you were leaving, I still remember, we were reversing out, and from the front of the house, his daughter Mabziba, 18 years old, full parada, hijab also, so she was leaving. So from there, from the door, she shouts to her dad, Assalamu alaikum, bye, I'm leaving, I'm going, see you tomorrow. So I held my breath, I said, should I ask him, don't ask him, what's this about now? What I'm saying, how things filter down. So I just asked him, now he's our host. I said, by where she's going? He said, I don't know. I said, what do you mean you don't know? He said, can't ask. I said, what do you mean you can't ask? He says, no, you don't ask. It's her life now, she's 18. She's got her own car. She's independent financially also. So they are already tutored in school. Certain phrases, certain lines your parent has to ask you can constitute intimidation. Why are you going there? Where are you going? I don't ask you that. Why should you ask me? We both are adults. So it can constitute now, my father asked me where I'm going, what time I'm coming. So she can phone the authorities that my dad now has almost stepped the line. And they thought these things. When we were in one masjid also, Mount Ruskell Masjid, there also we went, just before that Arab Jamaat was there. So some money went missing. So the caretaker of the masjid. Now the caretaker is not like how we have workers. These are normal people, musallis, they take up these positions. Because they don't have a staff commentary like how we have, again, hire workers, etc. They were, brother went to his house also, grass is very long, he had to hire someone to cut the grass. So to cut the grass also is a profession. It's a profession. Unlike us now, we get the boy, we tell him, see, cut the grass, how much for the day? So you say, boss, 180 rand. He say, too much, man. Make it 150. He said, no, boss, 180. Make it 150. This way, that way. See, you don't have a job. I picked you up now. At least you get something for the day. He said, okay, 150. All right. Cut the grass. Get the two cars. You wash the car also. Make sure by already 1 o'clock you finish that. Then you will do all the windows for the house. Ya Allah. That wasn't the agreement. But now you got him on the system. He's got to do it now. He's got to do it. What you didn't tell him? Is that permissible? There, this person told us, you gotta hire the grass cutter. And there in those countries, you can't just put any machinery in the baki. There are specific names. For the electrician, he has got a specific type of a baki. When you see it, you know it's an electrician. Like how we have Eskom, we have, who else we have?
our telecommunications? Telecom. There are specific type of vans. You know this is telecom van. So if you're a plumber, you can't be driving electrician bucky. You get fined for it. Because now you've got pipes sticking out from there, but you're not an electrician, you're a plumber. You get a fine for it. So each type of skill has a different type of vehicle also. So even the person doing cutting of the grass, he must come now with his bucky and a trailer. And the lawnmower and everything else has to be loaded on that. You can't just put everything in the bucket, the car we have. Put everything in there. Whether we're moving home or whether we're doing some work, put everything in the bucket and plus the staff also. You can't do that. Then you get a fine. Like how Singapore, they said, is a fine city. It's very fine, but for everything you get a fine also. You have to hob and spurt, you get a fine. You've got cameras everywhere. It's a very fine city. So here also, he said just to hire someone to come and cut the grass, he's a white professional guy, he's a skill and an art. He said, first cut, $70. Only first cut, $70. You need about three cuts to get it right to the bottom. So you can imagine the maths now. He said, one cut is enough. I cut my salary also, my paycheck, and then we tell our own children, we go into the garden and we do what we can do. So anyway, coming back to, so I asked that person, where she's going? I don't know where she's going. I said, you mean you don't know where your daughter is going to? He said, no. Maybe some friend's house, maybe male or female. Don't know. She's going there. I said, Africa doesn't work like this. At Mount Roskill also masjid, that Nazim of the masjid, senior person, senior businessman of the area, used to take care of the masjid. So some money were missing from the Saudi Jamaat. So our Jamaat came. So as we entered that area, the basement to put our bags there. So he was there with all the young boys. As we have now, the young boys everywhere. So he called all the youngsters. So I remember all sitting there and they're holding one another. And he's sitting and he's telling them that the Jamaat was here very politely. And he explained to them that there was a Jamaat here from Saudi Arabia. He stayed there for two nights. And some money was missing. So we just want to find out from the young boys if you know anybody that took it. So one youngster telling him, are you implicating us? Told him, are you implicating us? The way he said it, there was old money. Ever I saw somebody, we struck with fear. No. I'm not saying you all. I'm just asking. Now I think you're implicating us. That youngster is actually taking him on, and he's so afraid because if this youngster feels intimidated that he's implicating us, he can fall right now. Authorities can pick up this old man. He's handing us in the masjid. This is what they taught in the schools. That's why they say the Arab brothers that come to these countries, the first thing they lose is their wife and children. First thing they lose, wife and children, because they came with Arab culture. They came with deen also, where the wife has her place, children has their place, and the husband. Here, the wife comes first and children. They say, as soon as they come here within a year, they lose their wife and children. They're free. They are free, they lose everything. In the same masjid also, one Pathan brother came. He was new. They must have heard a little bit. Broken English now, but you know this country is a bit different. So after every few rakats, we can hear something in the back now. This Isan was running amok. The lights were off. So after a couple of rakats, we just hear in the back all of a sudden somebody getting claps. I said, oh, what's happening? Twin drops silence. Oh. He lost his head and he gave Isan a hiding. Gave his son a hiding, and I remember he came back into the surf. The son is sitting in the back holding his head. He told him, Sabku bulao, police ko bulao bhi, dikhaunga unko. He called the police, called everybody, I'll show them also. He just said, quiet. People said, hey, somebody has to phone right now the police. What they'll come and do? They put their red tape outside the masjid, blue lights, press will come in. What's happening in the mosque? That's how they do it. But the boy just said, quiet after that. But can't touch them. Can't do anything. They walk in any time. Hi dad, hi mum. But their brother also we met in New Zealand, the Pakistani brother. Rebar say, Mufti Sahib, don't tell him anything. Just listen to him. He'll utter some kufr words right now. Modern deen. Sat in his lounge. That lounge is full of portraits. The whole family portraits. Everywhere. Daughters, son, everybody. Big portraits. They're all now modeling there. And they got the portrait taken. I think it's framed up. Everywhere. Sitting there, person staying long in New Zealand, Pakistani brother, made his money, living the so-called life, modern life. So we sat down there, and doesn't speak Urdu, he speaks English. Okay, no problem. So myself have another local brother from Durban and our local neighbor from New Zealand. We were in Sydney. So I started speaking to him. And as we were speaking to him also, then his daughter would come into the lounge. Into the lounge. She came gladly dressed also. Hi dad, bye dad, I'm going out, see you tomorrow. No salam, no kalam, nothing. Son came also, dad, I'm going out for the night. This way, that way, no, rosy and happy. Like a modern deen it is now. And he's speaking. Then he started. Then he said, this was now maybe in 2011. Now I'm explaining to you how things filter down. And how, which way we're going to go after that. So this were his children, lost them completely and he's happy about it. Then he asked, what you came here for? He said, he came for da'wah. Told him, because they speak like, he came for da'wah. He said, da'wah? Who listened to you? Just like that. This was a camel age. Oh, I said, I better just keep quiet. This was a camel age. That was a norm that time to dress like this. How dare you dress like this in a country like this? Nobody will come near you. He says, we do interfaith. My wife and I, we go for all the dinners. And the neighbors come, that one comes. And sometime, it depends who you're comfortable with. Sometime, possibly, his wife is more comfortable speaking to me. So I'll give her the da'wah. Now because we look the same, we eat the same, we dress the same, we live the same, so they find some affinity. So they can come near deen. He says, your da'wah won't work. Nobody will come near you. And besides, God doesn't need you. Anybody's worse. God doesn't need you. He doesn't need your worship also. Oof. By the Sati, local Sati, he always had tasbih in his hand. But now, he was making tasbih, now grinding his teeth now. And he looking at me, telling me. And the Rebbe is looking down. He said, God doesn't need your worship. He's got plenty of angels to worship him. He doesn't need you. I said, Inna lillahi. He got enough angels to worship him. He doesn't need your worship. So anyway, we just finished talk, but then I realized, Ya Allah. From where that was interfaith 2011. What's going to happen to our country? Our kids, our children, this will happen. What, as we met one brother there in Raiwan also, he was a device engineer from Texas. So his mind would work computers only. So his da'wah also was only this IT jargon. So because he was a lecturer in the States, he used to come in the local magazines and all, very highly qualified. He had over six engineers working for him. He had a twin engine plane also, and he had a very fast life. He had his own studio, tennis club, and his own restaurant, and pool parties over the weekend. Muslim, grew up like Western life, boarding school. And his language was very different. Weekends, the haram activities, the drugs, the womanizing, and the rest of it. Then he says, finally I woke up one morning, and the things he told us, I can't even repeat also. Like every weekend, he says, was a different menu. Was a different menu every weekend, pool parties, everything, drinking and the works. And then he says, one morning I woke up, was wasted, tired, tired of life. Opened my side drawer, took up my gun. And I said, I had enough of life. Nothing to look forward to, nothing at all. Nothing, no happiness, got everything. And he says, when you mullahs used to come to my firm, they call him mullahs. When you mullahs, meaning the jamaats. When the jamaats used to come to my firm, I had a camera outside. I would tell them, please leave. They said, no, we'd like to meet you. Your Muslim brother, jamaat is here. Please leave. He says, I locked up enough jamaats like that in jail. Call the authorities for them. They don't leave my premises. Get them locked up. Don't have time for people like you. Get a life. This thing doesn't work. That was the lifestyle, the mindset. He says, I woke up in the morning, took out my gun, put it to my head, and I thought to myself, you knew Urdu also, a Pakistani brother, grew up there, went to boarding school there, highly qualified. He said, hold on, before I blow my head, let me sort out my kafan, dafan, janaza first. At least I'll be buried like a Muslim, because I got iman a little bit. So he had a friend in New Jersey, said, I phoned him. He said, dekho bhai, I'm tired of life now, I'm going to blow my brains. Please come read my janaza, bury me as a Muslim. He said, but before you take your life, I don't have the time right now to come for your janaza. We all are busy right now, but do yourself a favor, You can blow your head, no problem, but not now. First you go back to Pakistan and go to a place called Raivin. Go to a place called Raivin and just go spend some time there. Then by all means then I'll come for your janazah after that. He said, what's there? And he had one apartment in London. He loved cricket. How you got to know him also? It was in 2000. So in the foreigner section, every now and then you see him hopping up and down, doing one catch, doing one bowling, hitting one six. Must have been in his 30s or so. I remember even his that time, email was something new. So his email was robinhood@yahoo.com. So he carried a moon bag, full of dollars in there. Very wealthy brother. So he was hopping this way and that way. Then he saw us. He said, Africans. He said, yes. And that time I think it was Jonty Rhodes or something. He got locked up for some game fixing or something like that. So he sat down. He was talking about cricket. So we listened to him out. Then he gave us the whole car was there. He says, then I said, okay, so he had one apartment in London. He used to go there weekends to play cricket. Then he had another flat somewhere else he used to go. He loved cricket. He says, I came, booked my ticket and I came to Pakistan. Came to Karachi. As an American citizen with green card, right now the green card holds no weight right now. They cancel all the green cards right now. People know. A lot of problems there. So even you have a green card, is that your ticket to Jannat now? It's finished. They can just cancel it. And they cancel the penalty right now. Deporting them. Anyway, we say I came to Karachi as a green card holder, American citizen. When you go to the American embassy in Karachi, they give you complimentary a bag of sharab. Drink. But you can't buy it here. So they have for you. So I went to pick up my share of it. And then I got a friend of mine in Karachi, so we drove from Karachi to Raivin. By the time he reached Raivin, he was intoxicated completely. That was his lifestyle. He walked into the Markaz, wobbling, went to the canteen, he had a few Pepsis and Cokes, and he passed out. They picked him up, they brought him to the foreigner section, and as they tried to get him up, the vulgarity and the swearing and the rest of it, then finally, when he became sober, then they got to know who he is. This person is well known in his field, in that country, etc. So they put him in the Jamaat Mahat Ari Jamil Sab. He used to move in that Jamaat. So he says this was the lifestyle. This was now year 2000. So he says this was the type of lifestyle we had that time. So this brother mentioned to me now, coming back to this Jewish brother. He says, this is what you went through already. So I want to tell the Ummah that time, please wake up. Do you know what you're doing right now? You're not taking barakat back home. This is all fitna. This is all vice. This is not just spoil your iman, spoil your hajj, and spoil your family. Watered down deen, they already planned this. 20, 30 vision, whatever their vision is, we already have a vision. Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam gave us a complete syllabus, complete vision. How to make, he said the night, he said the day is bright, left behind for you a deen, that the night of this deen is like the day of the deen. Absolutely clear. إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنٌ وَالْحَرَامُ بَيِّنٌ. Halal is clear and haram is clear. What's in between what mushtabihat, which is unclear, refrain. What's not clear, refrain. Haram is clear and halal is clear. The road is absolutely clear. We don't have to add on, we don't have to delete and separate and minus. We got a complete deen for the men, for the women, for the children. Now we're pushing ourselves, families, in the wrong direction. Intelligence is what Allah Ta'ala gave us. Sunnat, lifestyle of Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam. Where the woman has her lane, husband has his lane. Alright? Nowadays the woman will tell the husband, is my way or the highway? You got no choice. You got to do it like that. He's living in fear nowadays. My husband tells us to. Husband living in fear. And we mentioned many times, they tell Marana, say this in the bayan about the ladies, but don't say I said it, or finish for me. He's afraid to say anything also. Has become like that, unfortunately. So this whole watered down deen, that you just want to take life easy, intermingling, zina of the eyes, merrymaking, with the namaz in the masjid, namaz here, namaz there. Very close the masjid then, read namaz in the resorts, read namaz in the park, read namaz on the beach, read namaz in the halls. Why we need the masjid then? Yeah, we can read namaz anywhere. Masjid is masjid. Even I have a musalla in my locality, there I go now and then. But the reward and the du'as are for the masjid, not for the musalla. Musalla, what makes a masjid is that the owner of the property or the land makes niyat. that I make this zameen and piece of land waqf for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. That land now belongs to Allah till qiyamah, cannot be changed, cannot be undone. That's now a masjid. Musalla still belongs to somebody. We're just facilitating musallis to come here. So dua is for the masjid. Malaika in the masjid. The effect, the mahol is different in the house of Allah in the masjid. So this is where we perform our namaz. Yes, we have to go to the musalla by locality, I'll go. But now and then we have, must go to the masjid also. This now is a last resort because it's easy to call, to facilitate and accommodate the local people. So we come over here. Those that have the himmat, then we go to the masjid thereafter. So for us to understand now what is true intelligence, what is true deen. A deen Allah Ta'ala gave us via Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And Hazrat mentioned also, how beautifully. And after our safar to Afghanistan also, we saw it firsthand. Where the Mujahideen said also, that our victory that Allah Ta'ala gave us in 11 days. Whereas the agreement we signed in Qatar, the negotiator, Mawlana Dilawar, who sat with him, the minister of, what's he? The minister of one of the departments. Can't remember right now. And it was like a humorous joke for him. We went to Qatar and we signed the agreement with the Americans that 14 months they will leave. But Allah Ta'ala gave us 11 days they left. Asked him how? He said, our mothers, they polished our boots. And a woman in the refugee camps, they kept Rosa for 1 week. Because they amal, they taqwa, they trained us. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala gave us victory in 11 days. That the entire 52 countries left after that. This is really, really intelligence. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding, inshallah. The time has gone. We'll just try. Can we finish this, brothers? We don't have much time also. No, I'm not going to finish it. Is there anything we left? Any incidents left? Incomplete. So do not disclose your husband's secrets or faults to either family members or friends. Become common now. My husband is like this, my husband is like that. Husband to speak about the wife. Yes, we have to go to some ulama and we have to do some counseling, then it's fine. There's no problem. There now, we're doing this now to better our marriage. We to reconcile the marriage. We're not just now speaking, oh, he's like this and he's like that. But there's no solution to it. Always conceal one another's faults. Worse is to speak about one's physical relationship. That's even worse now. Be prepared for him at meals times, as the heat of hunger is very often inflammable. Remember the saying, a hungry man is an angry man. Now, as we mentioned, doesn't mean we use this for ourselves. You heard what Maulana said? So you must take heed. A hungry man is an angry man. It means don't get angry. Don't become like this. But now we use it for ourselves. See? You don't go for ta'lim, so you don't know. No. It means I mustn't get angry. Be a bit patient. Be a good patient. Do not mingle and speak to strange men. Do not mingle and speak to strange men. Now, Hazrat says they are tutioned, they are tutored. How to speak to strange men? Especially when you go to the plane, Hazrat says they are trained. How to come right into your face, to speak to you right into your face. Then you don't even speak to your wife like that. Now, they're trained to do that. And your wife sitting next to you also, she feels insecure. Look at him, how he's talking to her. And Hazrat says, every now and then she tells you, I'm here to serve you. If you need anything, Mr. So and so, just call me, whatever it is. You're flying with a business class, economy. Said, hey, I got a contact. Every now and then pressing the button. Every now, hostess. I said, what's this now? Who are you calling her? And she comes sweet also. Never gets tired. She says, see how she serves me. You get tired. After a couple of times, tea got cold. Wife will say, now you go make it hot. How many times make it hot? You're on the cell phone. That's why you got cold. Now you go, get up and the Prophet says, make khidmat at home also. So you make your own. Now look at her. See how she's serving me. I said, no. And then more than that, you go to the back. Now I need to chat her up also now. Talk to her, where you from, where you're flying to, how many days you're going to stay. One youngster in a plane. He was chatting up that. Now what is he going to get after that? Nothing. He won't get phone number also. But he thought now he was one hero, but turned out to be, what was the phone number? Zeros. He didn't get anything. But and I remember that youngster too, speaking American accent. He was from Pakistan. Speaking American accent. So even that air hostess was so chuffed with him too. So she asked, where are you from? He said, whatever city in Pakistan. Then how did you learn English? He says, online gaming. Online gaming. I got friends in America. And then he started opening this movie and that movie. And they went with him also. But Bishara got nothing after that. He got nothing. He had to leave the plane and we got off after that. But the amount of guna and sin. So they chat him up. So they are trained for all of this. Don't mingle and speak to strange men. This will severely harm your marriage. Remember, we might not feel anything. We might feel nothing wrong with it. Enlivenment is a whole cause, 10-day cause you should do before. Whole 10-day cause you should do before of how what you see, what you hear, what you think, what you speak affects your iman. As you say, whatever we're seeing around us, this building right now, just standing on its own. See, har cheez ki peeche, har parda ki peeche Allah ki qudrat hai. Behind everything, behind every hijab and parda and covering and wall is the power of Allah that's keeping everything moving. That happening on His own. That's why we are taught, anything we do, what do we say? Bismillah. Putting the lights on, Bismillah. Allah is having to riyah qudrat. When the light doesn't go on, what happens? What's wrong with this thing? Starting the car also. We just go start the car. He says, no, say Bismillah. No, the car didn't start. Not starting. Then after you say Bismillah. Hey, Bismillah, Bismillah. Read the Urf Sharif. Now Allah comes last. The key doesn't have the power. It's the permission of Allah. Everything happens with the power, permission of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Behind everything is the power of Allah. That is where the heart has to connect. That's why Hazrat says, every moment, every now and then you're moving, getting up, sitting down. Ya Halimu, Ya Kareemu, Ya Wasi Al-Maf. Call unto Allah. Allah is making it happen. Say Bismillah. Before eating, before toilet, when we're coming out, remember Allah. When we're putting the light on, when we're going to sleep, putting the lights off, everything is Bismillah. Everything happens by the Qudrat and the power of Allah. This is where the iman must go to. Not stuck at the switch. Not stuck by the key. Not stuck by what we see around us. Alright? We can see even now we're having a bath, nice hot water, all gone cool. What happened? Allah's permission. Allah wants to keep it hot and keep it hot. I got enough water, alhamdulillah. How it happened? Barakat. Barakat, my shower got done, alhamdulillah. Alright? So, it all happened by the Qudrat of Allah. Allah's power, it happens. Sometimes even the car is showing empty tank. Hey, but we still made it. Allah's Qudrat. Allah's Qudrat. Like we had Ma'an Yusuf Tutla Sahib Rahimullah in Stanger. It was famous about him that his cars run on zikr of Allah. Nobody saw him pulling the tank. Just carry on. Durud Sharif. Chalti carry on. Bismillah. Running on zikr. So this is barakat. This is barakat. So whatever a person sees, that's why they say when you go for gush specifically, especially keep your eyes down. Because dunya is calling out, look at me, look at me. When you look, affects the heart. When you look, affects the heart. And we know, online shopping, what you didn't want to buy, now they're throwing you one gift over there, one freebie over there, something there, then they give you some discount, they're catching you somewhere. Either the shipping will be double the price, the free shipping, and they threw some other things. It looks very nice online. When it came, after one use, it's broken. Then your heart is broken. Oh, I thought it was so nice. It's all dhoka. So what you didn't see, well, it affect you. Now you saw it, the heart took to it. I didn't have to buy this, I didn't need it. But because it was there, I saw it. Like how we say also, that the South Africans, we don't eat because we're hungry. We eat so we don't get hungry. Before we get hungry, we better eat now. Like even Ramadan nights now, because the refreshments are there, let's just have it now, so we don't get hungry. That's how it is. And we go shopping, not because we need something, we go shopping to see what we can buy. What's there right now? What they got to offer? Let's buy it and keep it. Let's buy it and keep it. Because we're bored of life right now. We're just whiling and passing our life. As I said, you won't pass, we'll fail life. You won't pass life. So this is what is happening right now. So coming back to what we see affects the iman. What we hear affects the iman. What we think affects the iman. Then we don't realize the iman got affected. Now we don't feel anything anymore. But all these things affect the iman. So all these things also affect the marriage. It's happening right now. It is happening right now. We can't see, but it's affecting the heart, affects the mind, affects the soul, affects the ruh. So all this thing has an effect on it. And we might not feel it. But then when things are unearthed comes out, they will say, what happened? how I slipped up, how I fell into this. You were looking after your eyes, you were looking after your ears. As one alim was saying also, he says, sometimes just parked to a car by the robot, or by the stop street. That car, now they're playing music in there. And I didn't park there to listen to the music, but it just caught the ears. Now he has got noor in his heart, iman in the heart. Our kabir, what iman they have. He says, just that little music affected the heart so much, I could actually see from my heart when ayat of my Quran Sharif being deleted. Just getting weaker. This para got weaker. Then ayat got weaker. How the door got weak? How the door is what we're eating, what we're seeing, what we're speaking, is affecting the little boy's heart. Door is not coming right. Why is it? Why is it? That's why you find some dar rooms, they're very particular. No food from outside, we'll feed them here, hold some good food. No gadgets, no this, no that. They say, so strict. No. See how the boy will perform after that. See how the boy, what he could never do at home. Now you put him in an environment, pure clean environment, the diet is there, good food, wholesome food, halal food, environment is good, he's performing. How he learns his sabak, how he's giving door, it's amazing how it's happening. As long as he puts in it, and he keeps his ears there, eyes there, his heart is there, Allah Ta'ala will open it up. Mawana Nazrul Rahman Sahib, Rahma Barakatuhu, who is right now like the Amir of Raimin. And we're spending our time in Jamaat also, so some students are qualified in the Raimin Madrasa, they were with us in Jamaat. So we're asking them about the Asatiza, we're sharing our experiences of Darul Uloom. So you will see Mawana Nazrul Rahman Sahib, Rahma Barakatuhu, absolutely pious person. Even the amount he eats is measured. How many sips of water he takes to is measured. How many luqmas he eats is measured. Absolutely thin. But the ruhani strength he has is something else. Very particular about everything. And all the time he guards his heart. What he speaks, what he thinks. Quran tilawat the entire day. When the saqaza, bayan, he'll engage in that. So he says, he's well known in the Darul Uloom and Raiwin. So he's like the foremost stars of the Mishkat class. Mishkat is a hadith kitab. We teach it in the 5th year. They might teach it now in the 6th or 7th year. So he says, when we come to his class, he identifies the boys in the class that are weak, zehnan, that mentally, they're not very sharp and clever. They battle to understand the masail or to retain. So he chooses those boys now for 1 month at a time to make his khidmat, to prepare his food, maybe to wash his clothes, to make his khidmat, to bring his food, to clean up for him. So in that time now, why they say, Khuda, khidmat se khuda milta hai. Say by ibadat you get reward. Through khidmat you get Allah. So let them make khidmat of the ustaz. So they're doing it, matter what the ustaz may be, but you're doing it because my ustaz, Allah will give you. Once Hazrat mentioned to us also, when he came home, so Hazrat was now in a relaxed mood, then he mentioned to me, said, when Yusuf, he said, rub my feet, kuch milega. You'll get something from Allah. Not that I want you to, but you by making khidmat, Allah will give you something. So he takes his boys in his khidmat for one month. So I asked him what happens after. He said, 1 month, they come there, he eats, he look at the boy, he'll make dua for him, he'll make dua for him, he'll make dua for him. So the boy is staying with him. Day and night he's staying with him. He makes dua for him, makes dua for him. He said, after 1 month, the boy is flying. His heart is open, his mind is open, and he's in a different level now. How he understands the kitabs, he just becomes the top boy. So all those boys that couldn't manage, he takes them into his khidmat. Because he's so particular what he eats, how he uses his faculties. So what you call tawajjuh. But he's making dua. Tawajjuh, Muslim can't make tawajjuh on his own. He can't make you fly by looking at you. And that, what is tawajjuh? That he asks Allah, Ya Allah, you change him. Ya Allah, you give him. Allah Ta'ala will change it. He can't do on his own. He can't retain his taqwa himself also, but the fazl of Allah. وَلُوَلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَبَدًا. Quran says, not the fazl of Allah, rahmat of Allah, nobody can become pure and clean. Allah Ta'ala does it. So after 1 month, alhamdulillah, the boy's mind, heart opens up. So just the environment, what he eats, what he sees, what he thinks, has the effect on the heart. Now you can understand, my dear brothers, that filth that they've given us right now, they're sitting in the bayan, sitting in the Darul Uloom, and scrolling on the phone, in i'tikaf. Now how the taqwa is going to come? How the taqwa is going to come? Like the example we always give, the person who goes scuba diving, deep sea. See Allah Ta'ala's qudrat, the beauty underwater. So he put on his oxygen tank, and his wet suit, he got his flippers,
And now he's walking into the ocean. And I say, where are you going? Well, deep sea. We're scuba diving. But he got the rope tied to his waist and to the lifeguard's pole. 50 meter rope. But where he's going, deep sea. By where are you going to go 50 meters? He said, no, I'm scared a little bit too. He said, by that 50 meter rope, what you'll only see tadpoles. You're not going to see anything. You're not going to see, you've got to cut it. You've got to cut it and jump into the ocean. Cut all the cell phone and all the haram activities, the intermingling and the talking and the going out, everything. Keep the children in a pure, good environment. They'll have fun in that also. They'll have fun in that also. Show them a pure life. Now see their hips. See how they'll perform in school. Without doing all the sciences, Allah Ta'ala will give them intelligence. How they'll understand these things from Quran and Hadith. The long topic also has explained to us that the education system of before, where we had the doctors of and surgeons of Spain. Alright, most of what we have right now, Ibn Sina'i, etc., they came with all anesthetic, and they came with the quarantine, and they came with the open heart surgery, and all these things they came. Where it came from? Mathematics also, algebra, geometry, and all these calculations, where it came from? The Muslim Ummah. What university they went to? Where they got it from? So Ajib Hazrat explains, we'll conclude on that now, inshallah. He says that these sciences were taught actually, primarily they were in madrasas in Spain. They all used to go to Darul Ulum and madrasas. That was the first thing. Quran was the first thing. If you learn the Quran, Sharif, etc., then, like it was a part of a school. They would go and learn all the different sciences, tafsir, hadith, Quran. So every child, the teacher would recognize that this boy has an inclination towards the sciences of Quran. Speak about the skies and the earth and the oceans. He enjoys this. So let him go into that field. This boy enjoys a certain ayat, a certain ahadith about the embryo and the child, how he's formed. And you can see in how he's going towards that, he's got a flair for this. Allah Ta'ala makes it happen. So under the umbrella of hadith, Quran and fiqh, so that was a foundation. So when they learned the sciences of hadith, Quran and fiqh, then a boy already knew, now okay, I'm interested in this. Then he would go into the sciences. Then to the barakat of the cleanliness of his heart, doing Quran tafsir. And then Hazrat says, he would ponder. Ponder over this ayat over here. Allah Ta'ala spoke about Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's father losing his eyesight because of excessive crying. He didn't become blind. Most of tafsir say he had cataract of the eye. So, so bad cataract that he blocked his vision completely. He couldn't see. Now, he had cataract of the eye because of excessive crying, using his eye, not allowing himself to sleep also. For years he cried in the loss of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. There was grief that struck the heart. So, Quran system is such, Allah Pak says in Quran Sharif, don't you ponder over the Quran. Afala, yadabbaruna al-Quran. Don't you ponder over Quran. As you carry on reading, reading with tadabbur, with contemplation, with your heart, then the Quran is a no-ending ocean of sciences, of different types of indications. Allah Ta'ala revealed it. So as you continue repeating, 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 things open up, things open up, things open up. So when he came to the eyes of Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, we know in Quran Sharif, what was the ilaj? How his eyes were restored? The kurta of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, his kurta. Alright, فَأَلْقَاهُ عَلَىٰ وَجْهِ أَبِي يَأْتِ بَصِيرًا وَلَمَّا فَسَلَتْ الْعِيرُ قَالَ أَبُوهُمْ. Already when the caravan left Mr. Egypt, and he gave his shirt to his brothers, his kurta, then throw the shirt over the eyes of my father. So as soon as they left from there, قَالَ أَبُوهُمْ, Yaqub alayhi salam said over here, as in Sham, إِنِّي لَأَجِدُ رِيحَ, I smell the fragrance of Yusuf. I smell the fragrance of Yusuf. So that affinity was so strong, Hazrat said, that's why for the Shaykh and the Murid, there's no boundaries. There's no boundaries. The hearts were together. Because Yaqub alayhi salam was his Shaykh also, Hazrat Thanvi says. When he saw the dream, where he went to his father first. I saw this dream. Father said, La taqsus. Oh, Yusuf, don't tell anybody. He gave him hidayah, he gave him mashwara.
Somehow the dream came out. Or they be jealous over you. They plot against you. His father already warned him before that. So he says, this is the ta'aluk between murid and sheikh. And he got all the masail of suluk and the sawuf in Bayan al-Quran, one of the tafsir of the Talmud rahmatullahi alayhi. So anyway, they came, they took the shirt, they threw it over the father's face. And Allah Pak restored his yati bihi basira. His eyes got restored. Cataract cleared up. So an Egyptian doctor, pious doctor, was a specialist in eyes. He said there's something in this ayat. So he carried on reading the ayat like a wazifa. And Quran is like that. I would say, you got depression, read this ayat. What the ayat is going to do for you? Allah Ta'ala has kept some effect in there. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Yunus alayhi salam was in depression. Wa najjaynahu min al-gham. Allah said, we saved him from depression. He read this, Allah Ta'ala, we saved him. Continue reading, Allah Ta'ala will take you out from that. So the effect in the ayat. So this ayat also the doctor carried on repeating. There's something over here. Some secret Allah Pak has put over here. Now he was already in that department, he knew tafsir, the Quran already. Alright? Now he carried on repeating. Till Allah Ta'ala put in his heart, there was something in that shirt. There was something in the kurta of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. What's in a kurta? Perspiration. There was something in the perspiration of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah has kept something there. So he began to research, and what he did was, he began testing perspiration on the eyes. And he found the cataract was getting cleared out. I remember that article we read also. So it was a breakthrough research. So perspiration now, and what they're not using nowadays, you might say, hey, perspiration. Now they're using cow urine also. Horse urine they're using for hormonal medication. Horse urine they're putting in there also. It's a very effective. And something of the monkey they're using, something of the khinzir they're using. All these things. So, perspiration. So he made perspiration eye drops. And was clearing on cataract. So he sent it to get patented to Switzerland. So once he sent it there, thereafter we never heard of the doctor. Why? There's no business in that. There's no business in that. Never heard of him again. Disappeared. Completely. So all those that will come with alternates right now, and it's a breakthrough research, you find they disappeared also. So many ayahs like that. So many ayahs have been explained to us also, where two babies got mixed up in a hospital. Two babies got mixed up in a hospital, male and female. So, that woman is saying that I had a son. She said, no, the son is mine. Yours is a daughter. Now how are you going to solve the problem? Newborn baby, we really didn't see. The nurses mixed up the babies when they went to give the mothers. But they said, I'm sure mine was a son. Something. So anyway, he went back to Egypt during the holidays. So he went to the ulama there. They got top ulama, mashayikh, mufassireen, muhaddithin, went to them. Mashayikh, we had this problem in our hospital. He was staying in the western country. How we solve this thing out now? What do we do? So, the son is whose child? Daughter is whose child? What is her share? What is her share? The child also, male, his share is different, and the female share is different. So Mashayikh told you very simple. Fourth para, Suratul Nisa, Sarid is the ayat. Yusikum Allah fi awla. Lid dhakari mithlu hazil unthayin. The male has doubled the share of the female. The male has doubled the share of the female. So can you read this ayat? We're talking about male and female now. So he reads this ayat. So carry on reading. Came back to the states. Then Allah put his heart. I got the solution. He said, what's the solution? He said, where's the two mothers? So they called him back to the hospital. Tell them to express the milk. So they express the milk. Say, take the milk to the lab. This is sciences now. Under the umbrella of Quran and Hadith. That was the foundation for all the sciences of Quran and Hadith. Take it to the lab and see the contents, what's within the boat. Say, milk is milk. Say, check it. So to say now, 250 mls over here, 250 here and 250 there. And take it. So put it under the microscope, they're checking it. He said, amazing. He asked, what's the problem? What is it? He said, we can't understand this. Both are 250 ml. But in one, the nutrients are double in the other one. Although the weight is the same, but the nutrients in one is double of the other one. He says, this belongs to which woman? That one there, son is hers. Because Quran says, for the male is double the share of the female. So the nutrients in the milk for him will be double of the girl one. Says Subhanallah. From where to where? Where the science came out from hadith in Quran Sharif. Hazrat says, everything is kept in there. The ummah, this is how we got all the scientists. This is how we got all the navigators and the astronomers. All came from Quran and hadith. These were the most intelligent of the world. He said, where we got this from also, coming before that, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, what intelligence Allah Ta'ala had given him when he told his ministers, the courtiers, that Bilqis is coming. And she has a massive throne in Yemen, she was from Yemen. This will worship the sun. She's coming. Who will bring her throne here before she comes? So we show her really what we have, bigger and better than hers. So qala ifritum min al jinn. So a giant jinn stood up. He said to Sulaiman, I'll bring it. قَبْلَ أَن تَقُومَ مِن مَقَامِ Before you can stand up, I'll bring it already. So he said, okay. Then قَالَ الَّذِي عِنْدَهُ عِلْمٌ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ Asif bin Barkhiyah. His name was Asif. He stood up. He had knowledge of the kitab of the time. And he knew the Ismi Azam of Allah. Those name of Allah that you take, it was accepted. He said, oh Sulaiman, I'll bring her throne before you can blink your eye. And before he could blink his eye, the throne was there. He just made one dua. That throne was a massive throne that was locked between chambers and chambers. When she came, and then he changed it a bit. Then he asked her, do you recognize this throne? And she said, hey, this is my throne. How he landed up here? So they said, look at it. He was an alim of the kitab. But what science Allah gave him, they could move things like this. They could move things like this. And then Allah Ta'ala gave Sulaiman alayhi salam that time. In his period of time, what sciences of dunya, this was science of Kitabullah. Through nubuwat and knowing the kitab that Allah Ta'ala had given him, the scriptures, what knowledge he had of dunya also, that Bilqis now, because she had a palace, now to impress her, he prepared one palace for her also. And he tiled it with glass. Tiled it with glass. What kind of glass? China is still trying to make that thick glass now that you can see through it and walk on it also. They made one bridge recently, I think cracked also. Right? And you always think when you go to Medina Manawara, when you go to Mubambik in Medina, they got their glass also. I remember that time when they had it, it was very beautiful, now it's all cracked. So that time Allah Ta'ala gave him the science of tiling with glass. And that Hazrat says that glass was so thin and so fine. So thin and so fine, but then it was so strong. They could carry the weight of an army also. When he did that in his time. So it wasn't just a miracle, he had it prepared. And it was tiled over a stream. So when she came and she saw, she walked in and she picked up her lower garment a bit. فَكَشَفَتْ عَنْ سَاقِيهَا And even her shins became exposed. Her shins became exposed because she was going to step into the water. Then she realized, oh, it's glass. She didn't even realize it was glass there. She thought it was a stream. So Hazrat says, look at what sciences Allah Ta'ala gave him that time that the ummah doesn't have today now. It is all because of Kitabullah, the Kitab of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. So that Allah Ta'ala gave them knowledge, which now we can't get through the resources we have nowadays. So Allah Ta'ala gave us the understanding, what is real intelligence? What is real intelligence nowadays? We don't even realize, we don't even know. That's why we tell the parents, what do you tell the boy? Hey, finish your heaps quickly, back to school. Back to school, ya Allah. From where to where we're putting him, he's the most intelligent place in the world right now, in the universe. Well, now we're putting him back in school, where they give him the worst education, and for what reason? Petka masla. And the father feels so proud, my son is a doctor. What's in there for you? How much is he going to give you? He might give you medical aid, and when you must go for a holiday, I'll check you in. No time to look after you. We'll check you in the hospital, nurses will look after you. Like one couple, it happened like that too. When you go for a holiday, the wife said, hey, we can't take your father and go. We got medical aid for him. They didn't do all his tests. 1 week put him in the hospital. We can go for a holiday. So they went for a holiday and checked him in the hospital. So what is real intelligence, my dear brothers? When our mustalat will understand their line, what they must do, how they must think, what they should be doing, which way they're steering the children and the husband, Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala gives them the real intelligence. How it is to be a real woman. Not just now feminism, but to be a real woman of deen, of iman, of taqwa. Allah Ta'ala give us also how to be real men of iman. Then we see the children, mashallah. Then as it says, then they will produce Salahuddin Ayyubi, Khalid bin Walid, and all these heroes of Islam will be born in our own homes. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.